All right, Laker fans, we're halfway to an NBA championship. The Los Angeles Lakers take care of the Houston Rockets. 119-96, the final score. Lakers dominate right out the gate, and they put themselves in a position now where they wait to find out who they're going to play in the Western Conference Championship. Western Conference Finals, by the way, it's been 10 years since the Los Angeles Lakers have been in the West Finals. Of course, that was back in 2010. That year, the Los Angeles Lakers, 10 years ago, beat the Boston Celtics. Boston, obviously, still in the mix here. They'll be playing the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. Let me focus on tonight's game first, and then we'll start looking forward as the show progresses. 877-710-ESPN. Laker fans, you got to feel good right now, and you got to feel good not just because you're 8-2 in the postseason right now, not just because you took care of a Portland Trailblazers team that everybody was hyping up coming into that series, then you took care of a Houston Rockets team that's supposed to have a backcourt, that's supposed to give you a ton of trouble, similar to the first round. You took care of the Blazers in five. You took care of the Rockets in five. But what's more important than any of this, I feel like the Lakers are just starting to get into a groove. They're getting into a groove at the right time. If it is the Los Angeles Clippers that they're going to face in the Western Conference Finals, they'll be ready. They'll be in a position here. LeBron mentioned this a couple times during his post-game presser on ESPN. He talked about how they're just 10 games in together. This team is only 10 games in together, so there's still so much to learn as they progress and they try to, you know, figure out a way to get number 17. But let's start off with this. I mentioned this to Michael Thompson. Now, let me give Michael some credit here, because Michael in the pregame show kept talking about how he didn't think this was going to be much of a game. Lakers have had opportunities now in the postseason, and I'm not saying it's perfect, and I'm not saying it's flawless by any stretch of the imagination, but you question whether they're going to have a killer instinct. When they have a team up 2-1, are they going to win that big game 4 to really kind of separate themselves and let that other team know, let the opponent know that they just got no shot in this series? The answer so far is anytime they have that opportunity to put somebody down, they've done it. They were up 2-1 against Portland. They eventually came out in that game 4, dominated, I think won by 20 points, somewhere around that, and then, you know, certainly finished off the Portland Trailblazers. They took care of the Rockets in Game 4, and in Game 5, this one of make sure you don't give any hope to the Rockets, they didn't. At the end of the first quarter, Lakers were up 15. Halftime, they had a 12-point lead. At the end of the third quarter, they're up 27 points, something along those lines. That's championship-quality team. That's a team right there that is not paying attention to the competition. They're only paying attention to themselves. They're only paying attention to, you know, obviously their strengths, and certainly taking advantage or taking advantage of the opportunity is probably the best way to put it. LeBron James, ridiculous again. When we say LeBron James moving forward, I want to always make sure we refer to him as the best player in the world, because he's still the best player in the world. LeBron James tonight, 29 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, a block shot. I think one of the things I enjoy most these last two games, Lakers have multiple guys contributing. And why is that important? Why is it important that multiple guys are finding ways to get involved, to score, to get block shots, to get steals? Because at some point, you don't want to just be dependent on two players. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's no, of course, LeBron and Anthony Davis, they're going to have to carry the Los Angeles Lakers anytime and every time. But when Markieff Morris can throw in 16 points, that's a great advantage. When Danny Green and KCP can have 24 points combined, last game they had 20 points combined, that's outstanding. Kuzma tonight had 17 points. We saw what Rajon Rondo had done these three games prior to this one tonight. Even tonight, he still has 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal and a block shot. These are the types of performances you're looking for from a team perspective, from a team aspect. And I thought tonight, you know, that killer instinct showed up. They didn't wait around tonight and kind of leave this one up in the air until the fourth quarter. They came out with the right energy to start the game. They came out in the second half and pretty much buried any hope that the Houston Rockets thought they had. And certainly the Rockets were in desperation mode. And you're probably going to win a lot of games when you set a new team record for three-pointers made. Lakers 19 of 37 from the three-point line. Let me repeat that real quick. We've spent many times in this Orlando bubble where the Lakers haven't exactly shined from the three-point line. They shoot 51% from three, 19 of 37 from the three-point line. They take 12 less threes than the Houston Rockets, but they make six more three-pointers than the Houston Rockets. I'll go back to this. Halfway there. Just halfway there. All right, let me take some phone calls here real quick. You are, by the way, listening to the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show here on 710 ESPN. However you're listening, if you're out on the road listening on 710 ESPN, we greatly appreciate it on the ESPN app or on iTunes, all our social media platforms. However you're tuning in, we thank you for being a part of the show, and the phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Let me start off with Josh. Josh, thank you for calling in, bud. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
How's it, Max?
What's that, Josh?
I'm just very excited. It's been 10 years. We didn't make the Western Conference Finals. And it's bring back, like, I've been waiting so long for this moment. Mm-hmm. Finally happened.
Okay, so we're halfway there. What do you think, you know, the rest of the way, if the Lakers are, if the only thing that matters now is, you know, you obviously try to get through the Western Conference Finals and then eventually you get through the NBA Finals. What do you think Lakers still kind of need, or do you think right now they're the clear-cut favorite?
I think they're the clear-cut favorites, and they just got to perform every night like it's like a game seven. Perform with greenness.
Appreciate you calling in. Let me go to another call here. By the way, tonight and these last couple games, they did perform as if it was a game seven, and that's what you want to see. When you're up in a series and your team is still more desperate than the team that's down, damn, that's a good sign. Byron in Inglewood. Byron, appreciate you calling in, bud. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
This team is amazing, and I was skeptical about them through different points in the season. But I got to give it to Mike D'Antoni, because he has lit a fire under this team and exposed something that I don't think the rest of the league can recover from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Marquise Morris at the mm-hmm. five and AD at the four. There's nothing you can do with that lineup. LeBron at the three, fill in the blank. Anybody else at one and two, just fill in the gap with Caruso or Kuzma or Rondo or THT even. With those three guys at three, four, and five, I don't think we need to see JaVale and Dwight except for maybe spot minutes the rest of the playoffs. And that might have been different had we run into Gasol in the finals, but they're gone. And I don't think anybody on Boston has any type of a low post threat that we'll need to have those bigs back in there. And, I mean, the Clippers have Zubac, but does he scare you offensively? He doesn't scare me.
Well, let me jump in here because I do want to take a couple more calls. So thank you for calling in. You know, the Markieff thing, I've mentioned this a couple times. So I felt like the Lakers needed a player like Markieff Morris at the trade deadline. And at the time, the conversation was, go get Marcus Morris from the New York Knicks. Clippers got him. I felt like Clippers were getting him just so the Lakers wouldn't get him. And Rob Pelinka, you want to give credit? Why don't you throw some credit towards Rob Pelinka, who didn't give up any assets, got him in the buyout market. And that is key. You know why Markieff Morris is key for the Los Angeles Lakers? Because it gives them the flexibility they need in every matchup in this postseason. If you have to go big with JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard in round one because Hassan Whiteside's there and Yusuf Nurkic is there, you can do it. If you got to go smaller and put AD and Markieff Morris to play the, you know, the four and the five, but you still want a banger. You know, we keep talking about Kuzma being able to play the four. Markeef's a different type of player. Markeef's going to go up against, you want to try and push around Markieff Morris, go take your chances. You might be able to do that against Kyle Kuzma. You're not going to do it against Markieff Morris. So the key reason why Markieff is so important to this Los Angeles Lakers team, however the Lakers need to adapt, they can do it. And that's the most important thing. Because this next round against the Los Angeles Clippers, you're not going to play it the same way that you were playing the Rockets. And you will see more JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard. But you're also going to see a lot of Markieff Morris matching up against Montrezl Harrell, matching up against some of these players. Okay, Clippers still got to win one more game. Of course, we're cheering for the Nuggets tomorrow. We'll see how that one plays out. But certainly that's going to be an important part of what the future is for the Lakers. I want to give a shout-out to the Wallace Firm, official personal injury law firm of the postgame show right here on 710 ESPN all season long. They are serious trial lawyers who get serious results. Let them help you get the W. No win, no fee. Call them today, 844-844-WINS, or visit wallacewins.com. When we come back, we'll hear from head coach Frank Vogel, who, by the way, deserves a ton of credit. I mentioned this to Michael Thompson in the pregame show. I think his X's and O's and his adjustments have been fantastic through the first two rounds. Head coach Frank Vogel coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Lakers handle the Houston Rockets 119-96. They also handle the Rockets. Series is over, 4-1. Lakers rolling right now. Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint, locally owned, manufactured, and operated. And with over 1,300 Vista Paint colors, your perfect paint expression is at Vista Paint right now. And don't forget, visit VistaPaint.com for your discount color sampler. Okay, we found a stat that the Lakers did not win. They did lose points in the paint, 36-34. Every other stat the Lakers won. Rebounding, 50-31. Assists, 25-18. One of my favorite stats, and I'm sure for every Laker fan out there, 19 three-pointers. Lakers had 19 threes. Rockets had 13. Who's the three-point shooting team? Maybe we're the ghost small lineup that everybody's been talking about in regards to the Houston Rockets. Lakers take care of business. I do want to squeeze in a couple more calls here before we get to head coach Frank Vogel. Ryan calling in from Fresno. Ryan, appreciate you calling in, bud. Go ahead.
So pretty much I just wanted to say, how about Kyle Kuzma tonight, man? 17 points. I mean, when AD was playing the way he was playing earlier in the game, I mean, for Kuzma to step up the way he has, I mean, that's what we need in the playoffs, man. I mean, especially, and then I want to talk about our defense for a second.
Can I go Kuz for a second? Let me hit Kuz, and then you go on the Lakers defense. My favorite part about Kuzma this entire postseason, it's not that he's putting up 25 points a game or anything like that. That's okay. That's fine. But I feel like Kuz is just playing within the team, right? He's not forcing shots. He's not going 4 of 16 from the field. He's not he's just not making bad basketball plays. And for a kid who's never been in the postseason before, he's obviously taken advice from some vets over there or on this team, and that's certainly going to help him a ton. You go on the Lakers defense.
No, of course. Just to add to that, I think Kuz just found his role. And in the Lakers, he's matured a lot this season. That's one thing. But Houston shooting the ball 89 times and only making 33, while the Lakers have 39 field goals made on 74.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta love that. You just gotta love it.
Yeah, this Lakers defense. I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for being a part of the show. This Lakers defense, I did mention, coming into this game, they were giving up 106 points was the average they were giving up to the Rockets. By the way, the average against the Portland Trailblazers in round one was 107. I don't need to tell NBA fans out there how potent Houston, how dangerous Houston and Portland were coming into the postseason from an offensive perspective. So if the Rockets were averaging 106 points coming into this game, they only had 96 tonight. I'm not exactly a mathematician, but that average went down. Lakers hold them under 100 points in this game tonight. So certainly defensively for the Lakers delivering as well. Steve in La Habra, go ahead, bud. You're on the Pizza Lakers postgame show.
Hey, buddy, I just want to let you know you have the best postgame show out of all the postgame shows around. No disrespect to Travis. They have a great show also. You have a lot of listeners, too. I'm a UPS driver, proud to say that. And all my UPS drivers, when they hear me on your show in the morning, they're like, dude, I heard you on the Sliwa show.
You're a frequent guest now.
Well, thanks. But, hey,
ahead,
you know me. I'm Clipper Steve.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to let you know, the Lakers played mostly offensive teams. There were, you know, Portland and Houston. Those mm-hmm. are people that are all offense. Lakers did a great job of shutting down two players on each team. Clippers, I don't know what's going on. PG, I hope he's okay with everything that's going on with them that he's spoken about. But the Clippers are a complete team. You know, they do have big men. They do have small men. They do have, a twin brother on their team who's nastier than his younger
brother. Well, Steve, here's the great thing, and I appreciate you calling in. Here's the great thing. You know, listen, I think from the start of this season, everybody has said this is going to be a showdown between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers. And frankly, you know, I spent a lot of this pregame show talking about how I thought the Clippers were a little overhyped here. They haven't looked. They've blown two 16-point leads in the postseason, but I'd be lying if I didn't say, of course, that's going to be the best competition the Lakers face if the Clippers get past the Denver Nuggets. I think most people think that that's going to happen tomorrow. But with all that said, everyone can keep talking about, you know, whether you're a Clipper fan, Laker fan, whatever the case is. It's supposed to be this way that these two teams go at it. I think they're the best two teams, the two best teams in the NBA. I think whoever comes out of the Western Conference is going to be raising up a banner at Staples Center. That's where I put both of these teams. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Clippers taking on the Denver Nuggets. If they beat the Nuggets tomorrow, we don't have to wait too long. Wednesday will be game one of the Western Conference Finals. Okay, I want to hear from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Let me just say this before I start with Coach. Every adjustment the Lakers needed to make so far through the first eight games, he's done it. The attitude and the chemistry on the team, nobody's complaining. Dwight, JaVale, that whole thing. You got to give credit to all the vets on the team for that. I just think head coach Frank Vogel deserves more credit through the first eight games. But really, how you're going to be, how your coaching pedigree is going to be assessed is by the time the season is over. We'll see what happens over this next month or so. Here's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel.
Hey, Frank, what stands out the most to you, not just from this series, but the whole postseason now, 4-1 over Portland, 4-1 over Houston? What is your takeaway from the way your team is playing?
Well, I'm just I'm really proud of our whole team, you know, beginning with our captains, but, you know, really top to bottom on our whole roster's commitment to the defensive end. You know, we played against the hottest player in the bubble in Dame Lillard in the first round. And, you know, this team that is unique and has one of the most high-powered offenses in the history of the league, James and Russ, both MVP-level players, great three-point shooting support system. And, you know, we really, really committed to the defensive end. And, you know, even though they have a three-point attack, it was a paint-first mindset. You know, our verticality and rim protection was just special tonight. The commitment was there, and from the beginning of the season, our group is really committed to that end of the floor, and it's paying dividends right now.
Frank, what's most impactful about the LeBron and AD combo on and off the court? As I don't know if there's a difference in postseason or regular season, but is there anything that stands out about the way that those two impact things?
Well, the fact that they're so cohesive on and off the court really impacts our group's togetherness and our chemistry, and it filters down to the rest of the guys. And then obviously both of them have dominant abilities on both sides of the floor. They're both willing passers. So, you know, they fit what we're trying to build here in terms of being a team first team offensively, and one that's athletic and gifted and talented and committed on the defensive end. So, you know, all those things are leading us to success thus far, and looking forward to seeing how far we can take it.
Hey, Frank, it's Dave. It's pretty obvious that the level of play you guys have been at these last two rounds is different from what we saw in the seeding round. How can you explain the improvement and the growth you've shown, you know, in these first two rounds of play compared to when you first got down?
Well, it just takes a little time to gel. You know, we had 4 months off, and, you know, obviously the guys had to get their legs back under them, rhythm and timing, all those types of things. And then obviously when you know, we played the first two games or three games. We clinched the one seed. We began, you know, getting a lot of guys, a lot of work. So, you know, there was a little bit of a, you know, unfamiliarity, you know, just trying to work guys in and whatnot. But, you know, the confidence that I've had in this group has been strong all the way through. And, you know, I'm excited about what we can accomplish going forward, not just what we've accomplished thus far.
Hey, Frank. Obviously, the playoffs are such a different animal. I'm wondering what you have learned about this team through these first two rounds and the way they've responded to going down 0-1 in each round.
Yeah, well, they've got a great ability to figure things out. You know, that's the number one thing for me. And, you know, both within a game, you know, as opposing coaches and teams are putting adjustments in place. You know, our group's ability, our assistant coaches, myself, our player leaderships, every guy from the, you know, the first guy to the last guy down the end of the bench is talking and, you know, just figuring the game out and figuring the series out. And we've had really productive film sessions just to tweak the plan or strengthen the plan each time we play a game in these playoffs. And, you know, we continue to get better as the series goes along. Hopefully that will continue.
Hey, Frank, it's Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
I was wondering, you know, when you talk, when the Lakers are back in the conference finals, it's a big deal because it's been 10 years and this is an organization that was accustomed to being there. Do you want your players thinking about the pressure there is with that, the pressure that comes with trying to get the Lakers back to something that their fans and the organization expects to be doing?
You know, to me, those are end result things. You know, we're super happy for our fans. You know, we're the best fans in the world and the largest fan base in the world in terms of NBA basketball. And Laker Nation, we're all happy for you guys to have the success and put us back in the conference finals with the opportunity to do something great. And but for us, you know, our focus really remains on the task at hand and staying in the moment. And we're not thinking about pressure or what we have to win for who and all those types of things. You know, we really just have a task-oriented, stay-in-the-moment mindset. And, you know, it really pays dividends for us.
Allie?
Role players tonight, Danny Green, especially on the defensive end, and the way they can't carry out the offensive plan against James and Russ. Have you guys grown in this series, needing not to be quite as reliant on LeBron and AD just having you tonight?
You know, I think the supporting cast played well in this series, but I think they played well for us all year. You know, we have an extremely deep team, and you know, we have obviously the two big guns, but, you know, it's when you have an army of guys that can really step up and be a third leading scorer or a defensive star on any given night, you know, whether it's our centers who didn't even play in this series or, like I said, the army of wings that we have that can, you know, dribble, pass, shoot, and guard, you know, that's a tough thing to prepare for. And, you know, the consistency that we've seen in these playoffs, and it just gives us a lot of optimism and hope for what we can accomplish with what we have around Anthony and LeBron.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel right there. If you want to be a part of the postgame show, I'll take some more phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. LeBron James coming up next. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. There's no need to waste time at the car wash anymore. Mobile Wash brings the car wash to you in minutes with everything necessary to bring your car to a full shine. It's the only app that offers on-demand car washing services wherever you are in SoCal. Download Mobile Wash now and use promo ESPNLA to save. Lakers over the Rockets. 119-96, the final score. Good day for a lot of Laker fans tomorrow. So you wake up in the morning, you got NFL starting, a lot of great games in the NFL. 10 a.m. Clippers and the Nuggets, so you got that going on in the NBA. Rams later that night on Sunday Night Football versus the Cowboys, by the way, right here on 710 ESPN. But for this Los Angeles Lakers team, you have earned the right to kick back and to wait to see who your opponent's going to be in the Western Conference Finals. We know the Clippers had that chance yesterday. They didn't take advantage of it. They blew a 16-point lead against the Denver Nuggets. And now the Lakers, at the earliest, would play on Wednesday, potentially Friday, if that series goes to seven games between the Clippers and the Nuggets. Yusuf, who's calling all the way out in the Philippines. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you being a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
Thank you for taking the call.
You got it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the call. Thank you for the opportunity.
Go ahead, Yusuf.
Hello?
Yep, go ahead, bud.
I'm Joseph. So I'm so grateful that I witnessed Lakers basketball. This has been a great season, and we're now halfway towards the quest for the championship. 8 wins, 8 more to go. I'm so proud of everyone. And I'm also especially proud of Rondo, all the players, KCP, Kuzma, and like they bounced back. Also, Danny Green. How about Tucker? Talen Horton, THT. What a start for him.
Youngest player, by the way, to get some playing time here. Thank you for calling in, bud. But don't get too excited. Enjoy tonight. Got 8 more to go. It's one thing if, you know, you're a franchise that wasn't expected to make it this far. This is what the Lakers are supposed to be doing. So you really shouldn't be. I think from a Laker perspective, we should enjoy tonight. We should enjoy that they've gone 8-2 and they've got here so efficiently and so effectively. But every Laker fan knows the big picture is still out there. Nathan in L.A. Nathan, go ahead, bud.
For having me on the show. I just got one question for you then.
What do you got?
What could you possibly want to see the Lakers do better than they did tonight?
Yeah, you know, I said this, Nathan. We have a stream going on right now, and I mentioned on there, I feel like, Nathan, and thank you for calling into the show, I feel like they're only getting better this postseason. They're clicking at the right time. You know, they say this, there's a cliche in playoff basketball or in any type of any sport, baseball, NFL, whatever the case is, NBA. You don't have to be the best team. You got to be the healthiest and the hottest at the right time. Well, I'll tell you this much for the Lakers. At this point, they might be the best team, healthiest, and the hottest at the right time. So certainly the Lakers are clicking on all cylinders. And Nathan, you do bring up a good point. There's nothing else I can ask for. I don't think anyone could ask for if you're a Los Angeles Laker fan out there and you're blowing out the Houston Rockets in a series clinching game. And now you put yourself in a position where you're in the Western Conference Finals. All right, enough of me. Let's go to head coach Frank Vogel on the Lakers' 119-96 victory over the LeBron James. We already did head coach Frank Vogel right there. LeBron James on the Lakers' 119-96 victory over the Houston Rockets and punching a ticket into the Western Conference Finals.
Hey, LeBron, this is the 15th time out of the last 16 chances that you've won a closeout game in your career. I just wonder if there's any kind of a different or advanced approach to those type of games, knowing what you know about the game and where things can go.
For me, mentally, I come in with the same desperation as the opponent. I understand that, you know, in a closeout game, the team that's down is going to play very desperate, and they're going to play to their best ability. And if you allow that to happen throughout the course of a 48-minute game, they will extend the series. Not saying I'm always successful on closing out the series, but that's my mindset. My mindset is to be just as desperate as my opponent when I approach the game, when I'm out there on the floor, and then live with the results.
Frank Vogel just told us that he's thrilled with how the defense has been playing. Just wondered if you could trace us through the season as you guys have evolved, the different looks that you've had, and the level that you're at right now as a team.
Well, from day one, Coach Vogel and the coaching staff said, and we need to be the best defensive team in the league. And we took that to heart. And we had some good months. We had some great months. We had some couple weeks where we were not that good defensively. But we're hitting our stride at the right time. And that's in the postseason. I think for us, we continue to get better and better throughout this postseason run so far. And we want to continue that going into the next round.
Hey, LeBron, it's Dave. You guys have had several guys on the team as the year has gone on go through their doldrums, but a lot of them, you know, not even having to name names, came up big in this series. What have you guys done as a culture, as teammates, as a coaching staff to keep guys on the course so that they can perform at the biggest stage?
Just keeping the main thing. And for us, it's the opportunity to play for a championship. That's what we're all here for. That's what we all signed up for. And everyone has to make sacrifices in order to do that. And that's what's best about our ball club. There's games, there's rounds, there's minutes, there's quarters where your number is called. There's sometimes where your number is not called. But you always have to have your mind into it and keeping the main thing. And we have guys step up at, you know, at times. And we all feed off one another. So it's very important, very key for our ball club.
Hey, LeBron. It's Tanya. You've talked a lot about understanding the importance of this franchise getting back to winning, getting back to competing for championships. You talked a little bit with Cassidy on the walk-off about how this is why you came here. And it's been 10 years since the Lakers have been in the Western Conference Finals. Is it personally valuable for you to think about that aspect of it and the pressure that comes with being the guy expected to lead the team into lead the organization back there?
Yeah, I know what it comes with. I know what my name and my stature and what I've done in this league comes with whenever I decide to join a franchise, either for starting up my first 7 years with Cleveland, my 4 years in Miami, going back to Cleveland 4 more years, and then coming into this franchise. I know what my name, comes with, and it comes with winning. And I take that responsibility to the utmost than anything, because I am a winner, and I've always been a winner. From the first time I ever played organized basketball, I was taught the game the right way from my little league coaches. They taught me how to play the game, play for my teammates. It's never about you. And the true definition of there's no I in team. And I was able to win doing that and just learning the game from 9 years old all the way until I became a professional at 18. And I've won at every level. So it's always kind of worked for me. So I understand what comes with that. I understand, the Laker faithful and what they felt or maybe were going through over the, I would say the last decade of not being in the postseason, not competing for championships and whatever the case may be. And I took that responsibility as well. So I'm happy I'm able to do, a little bit of part of it and the rest of my ball club and the coaching staff and everybody that's put the sacrifice in trying to get us back, get this franchise back to compete for a championship, which we've done all year.
Hey, LeBron, it's Bill. You guys were right before the shutdown, probably playing your best basketball of the regular season, and then obviously 4 months off. And there was a lot of talk about what it would take for you guys to get back to that level you were at on March 8th. Do you feel like you have surpassed where you guys were kind of at that peak in the regular season? And what has been the key to, in this totally unique environment, getting there?
I don't know if we surpassed it. But I just believe right now we're playing good ball. I mean, it's so hard to think about to where we were. There's been so many seasons wrapped in one. This has been obviously the longest season of my career and probably the longest season for you guys as well, obviously with the shutdown, the pandemic, and everything that's been going on. It's been a long year. So we're just playing good ball at the right time. And we want to continue that. And being in a bubble, all we have is each other. Obviously, our families got here within the last week or so, but we've been together for, we were together for 2 straight months and just having that bunker mentality, seeing each other, practices and meetings and buses to practice and games. It's just been us, so it's given us the opportunity to even grow even closer than we already were.
All right, that's LeBron James right there, courtesy of that's LeBron James just on the regular Zoom post game. So, it's something about LeBron that I think I said this and I tweeted out during the game. I still think this guy is the best player in the world. I genuinely do, and I think a lot of people feel that way. MVP is MVP. It doesn't matter. But just watch his value to the Los Angeles Lakers. He's everything for the Lakers. Nothing changed tonight. 29 points, 7 assists, 11 rebounds. Leads the way for the Lakers. Also on top of that, 2 steals and 1 block shot. 9 of 18 from the field. He's everything to this organization right now. He's everything to this, obviously this team, and he's helped the Lakers get back to the Western Conference Finals and a big part of it. Coming up next, Anthony Davis. We'll get a chance to hear from AD, get his thoughts. AD, not the biggest stat line. 13 points, 11 rebounds. We're accustomed to a lot more. AD actually a little off tonight, but here's the bottom line. You blow out the Houston Rockets, was a plus 29 in the plus minus. AD is going to be obviously crucial the rest of the way for the Los Angeles Lakers. Anthony Davis coming up next. Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. 119-96, the final score for the Lakers. Keep an eye out tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m. The Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Clippers. If the Clippers win, Lakers-Clippers game 1 Western Conference Finals, that'll be on Wednesday. If Denver wins, regardless, if it goes 7 games, then it's going to be on Friday, will be when the Western Conference finals start. Let me squeeze in one more quick call here before we go to Anthony Davis. Javier in Pasadena, thank you for calling in, bud.
How's it going, man?
Good,
thank
good.
You for taking my call. I appreciate you, man. I just want to, give big ups. And everybody was always, like in the beginning of the round one, when they lost that first game, everybody was like, oh, are they ready? Are they ready? Mm-hmm. And then their record in the bubble. And those 8 games that they played, it was like the first game they beat the Clippers. But I think that this team right here is poised, and they know what time it is, especially with these little young cats coming in there and doing what they do. And I just want to give everybody, all the true Laker fans out there, this is what we're about. You know, I know Kobe, rest in peace, is looking down at us. Is like, man, this is wonderful. And I hope we get that chip, and there's 8 more wins to go. What do you think about Vogel implementing all these different settings on the roster changes, the position changes for everybody, and how's that worked out for them?
Well, Javier, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for doing that. First off, let me say I was one of those two that was a little bit critical in the beginning. I didn't know what to expect from this Lakers team coming into the playoffs. Now, I thought they would take care of the Portland Trail Blazers. I think there was too much hype behind the Blazers, but those bubble games, those 8 games coming in, how are you supposed to assess the Lakers when those games didn't mean anything? Right now, Lakers are rolling. And if there's a time you want to be rolling, it's right now before you get into the Western Conference Finals, potentially against the Clippers. Javier, just to answer your question about head coach Frank Vogel, listen, you got to give the guy praise. The Blazers team, the way the Lakers played him, is completely different than how he adjusted to the Rockets team. And the difference between the Rockets and whether it's Denver or the Clippers is going to be completely different. I got confidence that this is an X's and O's guy that likes that chess match. Now, he's fortunate to have LeBron James and Rajon Rondo on his team, and not too bad to have Anthony Davis on this squad as well. Let's take a listen to Anthony Davis on the Lakers win.
Hey, AD, how does this experience so far with the Lakers in your first year, and obviously there's some things I know you couldn't have anticipated, the bubble, the COVID, everything like that, but how does it match up with what you envisioned when you first became a Laker and the type of success you hope to achieve?
Yeah, I just feel like everything's falling in place. You know, when I got here, obviously the goal is to win championship, and we're 8 wins away. So, you know, it's been a great process for me. It's been great, you know, being around the guys that we have. Obviously, been great being around Bron, and just helping me through it all. Obviously, at this point now, Western Conference Finals is new for me, so that process is going to be fun, but it's everything that I envisioned.
AD, what do you think you're learning about what it takes to have that killer instinct to close out a series to, you know, get to this point?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you hear it all the time, but you know, defense win championships, and in order, you know, for you especially to close out a series and get a high-powered offensive team like Houston, who's able to, you know, basically score whenever they want, especially with the 3-ball, you got to be able to lock in to your game plan on defense and get stops. So that's been the main thing that I've learned, is that no matter how you play offensively, you got to be able to execute, you know, defensively. What you go over, you know, especially against good teams. And, you know, the 2 teams we played so far in Portland and Houston have been great offensively, especially here in the bubble. And so, you know, and then, you know, next series, whether it's the Clippers or Denver, two other offensive threats. So our biggest focus is going to be locking in defensively and, you know, letting that lead the way.
Hey, Anthony, Mike Trudell back in L.A. I know you didn't get as many looks tonight, but throughout the playoffs here, your jump shot has just looked really pure, especially in the mid-range. Has been there, is being in the same court, the lighting, anything, is something like that helped you get a rhythm? Or what would you say accounts for the way you're shooting the ball?
I'm just getting to my spots. Coaching the team was putting me in a situation to be successful, and it's about just taking my time and finishing. So, I kind of struggled early in the bubble, but didn't let that stop me from shooting. Just kept getting in the gym, shooting the shot that I always get in the game. And now it's on the ball for me.
All right, Calgoon.
Hey, AD. Look at the past experience, probably gave more to get
Adjustments. You know, that's the biggest thing in playoff series is making adjustments. And you know, we know what type of team we want to be defensively. And, you know, game one, it's funny because after game one against Houston, you know, we said we looked just how we looked against game one against Portland. And we just made adjustments in game and after each game to be better, not giving the same, you know, dose of whatever our coverage is. And, you know, this series is just a little different because their play style is a little different. You know, they don't have a traditional big. And so, you know, where Portland likes to run a lot of pick and roll action for Dame and CJ, Houston likes to run a lot of isolation basketball. So, you know, it's a little different. But, you know, you make adjustments, you know, after each game and try to be better next game. For sure. You know, our coaches believe in us, the players believe in the coaches, the schemes and the game plans that go into each and every game. And it's been helpful for us. I mean, you know, being able to watch film and break it down. Coaches do a great job of, you know, making sure that the film is easy for us. And talking, you know, through every play, you know, that we can be better at defensively, even through wins. You know, we still have, you know, lengthy film sessions, even when we win, to make sure that we can be better. Because we're going to need to be better in the next round and then, you know, hopefully the finals. So it's not just about now, but it's about the future as well. And we just got to continue to get better.
All right, that's Anthony Davis right there. Got to imagine Lakers have to be the favorites here. When this does get down to only four teams left, I got to imagine Lakers are going to be the favorites. We'll see what happens. Maybe it means something, maybe it doesn't. I mean, I'm sure the Lakers aren't paying all that much attention to what other people are saying, but damn, is this team clicking right now. And the beauty is it's a team. You can just feel that this isn't just, of course, LeBron and Anthony Davis are going to do what they do, but there's a number of guys contributing right now. So the Lakers handle the Houston Rockets 119-96, the final score. They move on to the Western Conference Finals. Let me plug in a couple things here real quick. Rams pregame show tomorrow right here on 710 ESPN with Travis Rogers and Kirk Morrison starts at 2:30 tomorrow. So just keep that in mind. Dallas Cowboys and the Los Angeles Rams will start off the 2020 NFL football season. Lakers talk on Monday. That's coming up on Monday. That's from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So that will be my next show that I do, and obviously all built around Los Angeles Lakers basketball. Make sure to stay tuned in to 710 ESPN. We will keep you guys posted as far as the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Clippers and when the Los Angeles Lakers game will be. Their next game could be as early as this Wednesday. We greatly appreciate everybody tuning into this broadcast. A great Los Angeles Lakers win. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.